Broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250 New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And this is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking, inviting you to stay tuned with us for this next hour. And may the blessings of our Lord rest upon us. Our Father, thank thee for the past hours. Just thank thee for your grace, thy mercies, thy goodness that follows us all the days of our life. Thank thee that thou hast brought us into thy will. Thou hast shown us thy will for our hearts and lives. First, to believe in Christ, to know him as our Lord and Savior, and then to find the will and purpose of God for our life. And our desire, Lord Jesus, is that thy grace will work out everything in our lives that will glorify thee, exalt and magnify thee. Our blessed Father, we thank thee for your grace this morning. Thank thee for your word. It gives light to us, and how it you tell us to awake unto righteousness. Awake, and thou shalt give us light. Our Father, we look to thee in this hour. Give light. May the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine in every heart here this morning. Our Father, in every place in the heart, every corner of the heart, and may sinners be exposed before thee, and may saints be crying unto thee, our Lord, just renewed in their hearts and their lives, rededicated. And our Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will have his way. Bless thy word. Bless the messages that have gone out this morning. Our Father, bless thy people everywhere. Bless every awakened sinner. Awaken others to their need of Christ. Our Father, give sinners grace to separate themselves from everything, that they might know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Keep us in this hour. We'll give thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Let us turn in our hymnals to number 325 and sing How Firm a Foundation. How firm a foundation. Number 325. right. That's gracious. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in God's holy word. I praise the Lord for that foundation this morning. And I've been resting on that foundation now for 22 years. And it hasn't given way. It hasn't. And it never will. Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, he never changes. Now, I praise the Lord for the services of this morning, the early morning broadcast, the voice of truth. I just sat there and just listened, enjoyed the singing and the message. And the Lord gave us a gracious hour at this Bible study. And now we're looking forward to this 11 o'clock hour of worship. And just talk about the Lord, and hoping that someone will have such a desire in their heart to want to know Christ today. Oh, and just go away rejoicing in him, praising the Lord, praising for so great a salvation. I had a gracious trip. The Lord was with us all the way. I was tired, yes. I don't know if I could make another one like that, but I just praise the Lord for the opportunity of stopping in this home and that one and just praising the Lord. It began with Hattiesburg the evening I left here that night, spent a wonderful fellowship with the people there in Hattiesburg, brought God's message. Some of you came from here, went up there, and then we stopped along the way in South Bend, Indiana, at Mrs. Edgerton's home. Spent the night with her and her family. Her daughter is one of her daughters under conviction for salvation. And to hear her just praising the Lord, we fellowship one with another. And she plays those tapes from the time she gets up in the morning to fix her breakfast and the time she leaves to go to work. And when she comes home in the evening, she puts another one on, and she's just enjoying those tapes, those studies, and all the preaching services coming from here. It does my heart good, made me glad to know what's going on out yonder in Radio Land. And then went on up through Chicago, and I was glad when I got out of that city. That's a madhouse. And then I went on to the Tonsas, and spent time with them and preached for them. And they're getting the tapes. And I just praise the Lord for the trip. I was tired. It wasn't any rest for me. It was just, I was glad when I got back home to get just a little rest before today. But it wasn't a pleasure trip to me. It was one more or less of sleeping along the way. My son and my wife was doing the driving, and more or less trying to get relaxed a little bit so I could preach and be awake sometime so I can fellowship with God's people. And so, but I enjoy the trip. I come back. I'm ready to face the battles again and to preach the word, to face the problems, to face them in the Lord, standing only by his grace, surrendering anew unto him, trusting again for you, anew for you, and that this work will continue to go on. And there are not many that are being saved, but praise God for those who are being saved today, being awakened. And it did my heart good to talk to Kathy Edgerton, that young girl who's studying to be a nurse, and how she's longing. She wants to know the way. She wants to know the Lord. And I asked her, I said, Kathy, I said, where would you like to work after you get through your nursing school? She said, I would that I could move down to Louisiana down there and find a nursing job down there somewhere. And I said, any other reason? And she said, yes, I'd like to be down there so I can go to church. I could be there with you. under the preaching of the gospel. And yet to know there's so many of our own folks who will not attend the house of the Lord when the opportunity is there, but they'll find excuses to go here and there, and to find out that we have individuals in our assembly not concerned about their salvation, just playing church, coming in and going out all the time. And to see the desire in this young girl's heart. And she said, Pastor, how she appreciated those studies on marriage and how the Lord has dealt with her heart along that line, that she be careful whom she chooses for a mate. I did my heart good right there. To me, that was an oasis in the desert, in the wilderness. And to come back here and see you folks and how the office workers were so glad to receive me when I came in, and how good it was for me to come back and to see you folks here. I'm concerned about you. Doesn't matter what happens to me. I'm concerned about you as an awakened sinner. I'm concerned about you as a saint, that you will walk in the light as He is in the light. I'm concerned about you, that you will know the Lord all that much more and enjoy Him and be separated from everything. Now, some of my desires that are on my heart this morning. I'm concerned about this work, this ministry. I am. I've heard that out yonder through my travels. And I'll tell you, there's not another ministry like this one where the gospel is preached in all of its power and sincerity. You go out yonder, you'll be glad to get back. And so I'm calling upon everyone that has a part of this ministry, every saint, every awakened sinner, to get behind us and follow me as I follow the Lord. And I know I'm following the Lord, and I know that I'm following His will. I'm concerned about this ministry. Concerned about you. We have Brother J.B. Shelton will hold services Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in the home of Brother Donald Todd, Gulf Shores, Alabama. And then we are having a work day Tuesday to get out the Voice of Truth magazine. Will you come and help us? Will you? You women, at your home, your children in school. Men, come and help us Tuesday to get this Voice of Truth magazine out. And we will have fellowship dinner at 12 o'clock. But come and be with us at 9 o'clock. And fellowship dinner at 12 o'clock. Thank you very much. And let us not forget our fellowship day, which is just how many Sundays off now? Today, 2 weeks. Today, 3 weeks. Today, 3 weeks. The 27th. So let's not forget it. Everyone is invited. And next Sunday, I will give the order of the committees. But we'll wait till next Sunday. Dr. Copeland, I got a little card from him just the other day. He wants to come down earlier in the week than he first requested. So around Tuesday We hope to have his place down at the parsonage and all. Take care of him. And others will be here. And even the Tonses, the brother and Mrs. Benny Tons, they wanted to come down and be with us. It could be quite expensive to get them down here. I'll just throw this out. I know it's very expensive traveling. And I think the cheapest way is probably by plane. If at all possible, we could have them down here. It would cost about $480, round figures $500, to get them down here for that weekend of fellowship day. And I talked with them. I said, but is it all possible for us to raise that amount of money? We'll do that to get you down here. If we cannot, I'll let them know. But I'll just throw it open to you. And if you think you can give towards that cause, $25, $15, $50, $100, I would appreciate it. But we have to do it quickly. And so I can notify them and let them know. The only time they can be off is on Saturday, Sunday, and possibly Monday, because she's a teacher and he works. And the only time they're off is on Saturdays and Sundays. But I'll just throw it out to you and see how the contributions come in. We'll let you know. That's all the announcements for now. I'll let you know more about it next Sunday, about the fellowship day, but plan to be with us on the 27th of this month. Now let's sing that song, The Cleansing Wave, number 189, The Cleansing Wave. Let's everybody stand and everybody sing out. Thank you. Yes, it cleanseth me. Do you know that? Can you say that? It cleanseth me. You can say it. Oh, if you only knew the power of the blood, it cleanseth me. That's personal. It may cleanse you, but it cleanseth me. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, every sin. Isn't that wonderful? This morning I want to continue the message that I brought to you, the first part of it, the Sunday I left. That was last Sunday, or today, 2 weeks ago. And I want everyone to turn to the first chapter of Ephesians. Did I forget to take an offering? No, I don't believe we did we? Yes, we took the offering. Thank you. Yeah. Now, if you have an extra $100 bill, we'll take it from you. That's all right. Go get it. All right. Well, someone just thought that we forgot to take an offering here. We did. We took the offering. I praise the Lord for it. Now, if you want to take another one, we'll take another one. How many wants to take another one? Lift your hands. We'll pass it around to you. Well, that's wonderful. It's all right. We praise the Lord for every bit you give. It all goes to the Lord's work. And I know how the summer months are a strain. You've planned your vacations, everything. But now we're coming back into, we're in the fall, beautiful weather. Let's get behind this work. It should have been that way all the year round. Don't slack on your giving, your tithing, and your offerings. And if we had the money to spend for Brother Townsend's trip, we certainly would have sent it, apart from having an extra collection. But our finances this day cannot stand the strain. Every penny we get, we need for the radio ministry and for the upkeep of this work, the overhead, the going on of this work. That's why I just thought I'd let you know. Perhaps you might want to help in that way. And if we can get $500 together, we'll certainly have the Tonsers down here for Fellowship Day. Let's pray for them. It's a wonderful mission over there, not many. But there are those who try to get into the mission, still trying to take it over. But we just have to trust the Lord and look to Him to take care of them. I want to turn to the first chapter of Ephesians and begin reading from the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Did you get that? According as He, God the Father, had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. A choice made by God the Father before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now, our text is that sixth verse. Look at it again. Look at it. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, just for emphasis' sake, just to repeat a little bit of what we left off with last Sunday. Our text, it tells us accepted in the Beloved. He hath accepted us in the Beloved. Isn't that wonderful? I know I took the choir's tapes along with us on the cassette tapes. I had a little cassette, Kenneth's cassette, and I played those tapes over and over again. And that song got a hold of me. I accept it in the Beloved. You heard it this morning on the Voice of Truth broadcast. And how I delight in that great transaction, that great truth, you might say, that great fact, and to know that God accepted me in Christ. He hath accepted you and I in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at that text a little closer. Accepted in the Beloved, which means that this position in Christ, it was not always so, was it? Not always before that acceptance, we were like the rest of the lost, ruined, on the road to destruction. Not always has it been that way in that respect. I'm talking about, I know in God's eyes, back in eternity, we were always accepted of Him in Christ Jesus. But our position, as we know it, was not always like this position here in Christ. We were one time outside of Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promises. But now in Christ, you who were far off are now made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that something for you to think about? Does that delight your heart? Does it? Does that thrill your soul? Oh, to say all that thrills my soul is Jesus, is Him, is Christ. As many of us who have been saved by grace through faith, we are of a certainty accepted in the Beloved. But in times past, it was not so. I would want you would read, or we will read it again this morning. So even Titus, if you read Titus, the third chapter, beginning with the third verse through the seventh, it'll tell you the condition we were before God saved us. What a contrast is our present condition of acceptance to our present condition of under the law. Through Adam's fall, our way was contrary to God's way. Our thought were not His thoughts. Our hearts were not right with Him before God saved us. As many of you are listening to me this morning, your heart is not right with God. Oh, may this day your heart get right with God, get right with Him. And the only way you can get right with God is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May I magnify His name this morning. May I exalt Him. May I make Him the one person for you to look to trust in, to believe on, and to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He had not dealt with us after our sins, as Psalms 103:10 tells us. If He did, what would have become of us? Huh? Suppose if He would have dealt with us according to our sins, after our sins, what would have become of you and I? Suppose if we had dealt with your sins according to after your sins, what would become of you? You would become as a consuming fire. As a consuming fire. At that time, we were condemned already because we had not believed on the Son of God. We had no acceptableness before God. We were so full of everything, so full of the world, so full of jealousy, so full of our way, And all these things provoked him to jealousy. But now we are, praise the Lord, accepted in the Beloved. We are now under his banner of love. His banner of love. And we are under his care, being accepted into his family. I praise the Lord. I belong to the family of God. Do you? If I boast of anything, I'll boast of that fact, that I belong to the family of God. I belong to that family, being redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed to be identified with the family of God. Are you? Are you ashamed to be identified with this ministry, with this church? If you are, then that's a sure sign you're not saved. And that's a sure sign you'll never get saved unless that you become identified with God's people and his despised few. As we said before, we cannot be accepted of God but in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And why does God love us? He loves us for the sake of the Beloved, Christ. Oh, believer, may the Holy Spirit allay this to your soul this morning, and may it fill you with delight. Listen, I know as I heard that voice of truth this morning, and our late pastor spoke on that word, chosen of God in Christ, and talking about the Beloved, I said, you know, I don't know how much more I'll be able to say at the 11 o'clock broadcast concerning our Beloved. But there are other things here I want to tell you about. And that message this morning rejoiced my heart. I praise the Lord for it. And may the Holy Spirit lay this to your soul this morning, believer. And may it fill you with delight. Listen, the Lord has chosen you. Listen. The Lord has chosen you. He has received you to himself. He set his love upon you, and his delight is in you right now. Now, his delight is in you. Proverbs 11:20 tells us that such as are upright in their way are his delight. Let me repeat that again. You'll find that in Proverbs 11:20. Such as are upright in their way are his delight. And then Proverbs 12:22. They that deal truly are his delight. Then Numbers 14:8. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flowed with milk and honey. Isn't that wonderful? That's where we're heading for, towards Canaan. And you delight in the Lord, you delight in him. What a contrast from what we were before. Do you remember when you were awakened to your lost condition? You remember when you lowered yourself in the sight of God? You cried like the prophet Isaiah, "Woe is me." And like Job, you abhorred yourself and felt that God must abhor you also. You remember that? You saw sin to be exceeding sinful, and that sin permeated your entire being, saturating your thoughts, and that all your thinking was corrupt and offensive in the sight of a holy God. You ever seen yourself as such? You saw that you deserved the lowest place in hell, and that because of your sins, you deserved to go there. You remember that? Do you know what I'm talking about? That happens to every individual that's a candidate for salvation. You saw yourself under condemnation, the judgment of God hanging over you. What awfulness of soul you felt. You became filled with alarm. That was then before salvation. But now, that condemnation is no more there. Praise the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now why? We find in Romans 8:15, gives the answer. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And brother, if you can cry, Abba, Father, there's no condemnation there. There was a time I could not cry, Abba, Father. There was a time I did not know Him as a Father. There was a time I didn't know Christ as a Redeemer. And as God's beloved Son, in whom He was well pleased. But oh, when God awakened me and showed me my awfulness, my corruption, my guiltiness, and reveal unto me the condemnation that I was under. And I admitted before Him what a sinner I was by nature, by practice. It was only then that He delivered me. Only then, when, you know, that's what happens with a sinner. When a sinner acknowledges what God shows him, and you confess that you are guilty, is only then when God will have mercy on you and will pardon you. You ever seen yourself guilty before God as a lost sinner? You ever seen yourself under the judgment of God, doomed and damned forever without God and without hope? Yes, by God's grace, we were able to lift up our eyes out of the thick darkness and behold the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. In our own judgment, we were cast away forever. And how many times you hear sinners saying, it seems like I'm getting further and further away from the Lord. It seems like it's taken me a long time to know Him. But listen, my friends, in our own judgment, we were cast away forever and thought that the Lord would never be favorable to us or blot out our sins or give us a pardon. But that was 22 years ago, my friends. For me, some of you longer, shorter periods, but we are now accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. Just think for a moment, what you and I would have been had not grace stepped in. Just think for a moment. Just think,
of the grace of God. What you and I would have been had not grace stepped in.
Outside of Christ, as we then were, like so many are now, we might at this time have been gone from sin to sin, reveling and rioting in it, as so many are doing today. In our rebellion, we would be heading towards the pit. And possibly by this time, we might have been dead as a result of our sins. You think along that line, will you? Iniquity might have been full, and we might have been in hell by now. But for the grace of God, grace wouldn't have stepped in. But brother and sister, we are not in hell.
I ought to go there, but we are not in hell. And what is more, we never shall be. Praise the Lord. We never shall be. For the gates of hell can never close upon a soul that is accepted in the Beloved. Now you think about that. If that's not shouting grounds, just let me do the shouting. Just let me shout. And praise the Lord. And that is our condition right now. That's my condition. How is it with you? Oh, soul, where are you going? Where are you heading? Where's your trust? Where's your hope? We have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, as Hebrews 6:18 tells us. Praise the Lord. He's within the veil. He's within the veil. Not only are we saved and covered with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, but what is far more is that we are accepted of God. Don't come around and say, I accepted Jesus. I accepted Jesus. I accepted Christ. Well, that's all good. That's well. But let me ask you a question. Have you been accepted of God? Have you been accepted of Him? Have you been accepted of Him? Do you know Him as your Father? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Redeemer? I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about giving. I'm not talking about saying your prayers. I'm asking you the great eternal question that you'll ever have to face in this life. Have you been accepted of God the Father? And do you know that? Do you know it? My friend, salvation is a no-so. Not only are we saved and covered with the righteousness of Christ, but what is far more is that we are accepted of God. When we think of those who reject the gospel and who have eternally cast away their only hope of salvation and will be eternally damned forever, we are made to lift up our hearts in joyful songs of praise, praise of redemption. Praise unto our God and bless and magnify His name in whom we are accepted. Let me say this here. Out of Christ, all of our attempts to merit acceptance, it just increases our unworthiness. Individuals try to merit acceptance unto God by working their fingers through the bones by doing this and doing that. It just makes us all that much more unworthy. Strive as we may, labor as we may after a righteousness of our own, all that can come of it is but nothing but confusion. Oh, awakened sinner, may you never leave the truth. May you never leave the gospel that's preached here. Or you find yourself in utter confusion. The gospel is the only way out that leads you out of your confusion. The gospel is the only thing that will straighten up a man's thinking. Your way, my friend, is not God's way. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. And you have been thinking crooked thoughts all your lifetime. And you've been having your way a long, long time. And you wonder why you're not in hell today. And I wonder, oh, the long suffering and the patience of God, who's kept you so long alive that you might see your need of Christ and His righteousness. Just going to church, my friends, will not save you. Just giving will not save you. Just reading your Bible will not save you. Just praying will not save you. If that's all you have, then you don't have that which will get you to heaven. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that perfect righteousness and to be clothed in that perfect righteousness. Let's go on. My friends, if you are out of Christ, the wrath of God abided on you. And such were some of you. But now you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, this only means that we are accepted in the Beloved. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Praise the Lord. Can you say that, believer, this morning? Can you say that? And you may be able to say, well, you know, I didn't do a whole lot like some people do. I surely didn't do all of this and all of that. But if you're able to say, oh, but that by the grace of God, the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, you just got something to praise the Lord for. Just praise Him. Let us look at that text again, Ephesians 1:6. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, made ring in our hearts all through this day, all this week, my friends. He, God, the Father, hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You can't put yourself in Christ. You can't make yourself holy. You can't merit anything. You could do what you may. You cannot bring anything. You must be accepted in Christ. Let us look at our text again. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Remember, brethren, that once we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You'll find that in Ephesians 2:12.
We were pitied of God as poor, lost, ruined creatures of Adam's fallen race, and yet we were marked by His electing love. Marked out. Isn't that wonderful? Back in the eternities, God foreknew, foreordained, predestinated us unto the adoption of children. We were marked out by electing love. Think about that. Elective love. God's elective love. That He would pick us out, elect us unto salvation in Christ. Yes, we were marked by His electing love. And now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Yes, far off, now brought nigh by the blood of Christ. The blood makes the difference, my friends. The blood makes the difference. O saint of God, go back to the time when the blessed Holy Spirit of God began dealing with you, and you were brought to see your wretched and ruined condition before God, and you were granted a pardon, and all of your transgressions were put away, being renewed the spirit of your mind by the Holy Spirit, and the righteousness of Christ was imputed to you, and God revealed to you through His blessed word that He had made you accepted in the Beloved. As the days rolled on, we were assured more and more of our acceptance. Isn't that true? I know after God saves us, I know we're like little children. We don't know a whole lot. We know the burden of our sin has been rolled away, cast on Christ. Christ become our hope, our salvation. Not a whole lot we know. But then we begin to grow. We begin to eat, feed off of God's Word. The Holy Spirit straightens us up, stables us, strengthens us, that we might believe, that we might lay hold of the promises of God and lay hold of everything that God has purposed for us and wanted us to know, the great mysteries of the Bible, the Word of God, opens them up to us, and we come to see and assured more and more that we have been accepted in the Beloved. God accepted us. And how foolish it is for people to try to just to merit salvation and work their way to glory. How foolish individuals are. But when you come to see this great truth, to know this great fact, that it's God, salvation begins with God. He accepts us in Christ. It's not the sinner, Christ standing before the sinner to be accepted of Him. No, it's not. It's the sinner standing before God and being accepted of Him. And our time has gotten by. We must leave you in Radio Land. Here is next Sunday morning on the Voice of Truth program at 7 till 8. The Bible School of the Air from 10 to 11. And then the 11 to 12 o'clock worship hour. We will continue this message next Sunday. Pray for us. May God's richest blessings rest upon you. Goodbye. We read in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained, that we should walk in them." Now what does this mean? Only this. Listen. Acceptance in Christ comes to us entirely as a work of God. Now you get that. Acceptance in Christ comes to us entirely as a work of God. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I never could have made myself acceptable, and neither could you. But let us give all glory and praise and honor to Him that is sovereign, that he who made us first in creation had made us anew by his grace through redemption and had made us accepted in the beloved. Isn't that wonderful when you think about it? I wonder if this message blessed your heart this morning like it's blessed mine. I wonder if you're standing on that foundation, Christ, this morning. Or do you have just a little religious belief? Or you think by coming to church on Sundays that you'll be saved, that you'll go to heaven, or that you'll do your religious duties, or that you'll pray, or this and that, but you never talk about Christ. You never talk about the sacrifice. You never talk about your acceptance of God. You're never talking about blood redemption, about the grace of God, and your life does not tell the story of the gospel. And you expect to get the glory? No, sirree, you'll never make it. How would you be able to join the company of those in glory who sing blood redemption in Christ when you know nothing? What are you talking about? About grace that's greater than all of our sins. What grace you talking about? I do penance. I pray. I don't know what you're talking about. Which shows you know nothing about salvation and you need to be awakened to your lost condition. And may God, the Holy Spirit, work in your heart. Everyone here this morning, and you out in radio land, may you turn to the Lord, cry unto Him. And I know that's all of grace. You cannot cry unless grace puts that cry in your heart. And may God grant you grace to do it. To cry after His righteousness, His salvation. I'll leave you go now. You listen this morning, and you'll be back with us tonight in the services. May God bless you. Let's stand. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for this message. And oh, how our hearts were blessed. Thank Thee for Thy grace. Thank Thee for accepting us in the Beloved. Oh, who is our righteousness, our wisdom, our sanctification, our redemption. For in Him we are complete. Bless this people. Father, give us souls. May salvation come to many this day. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.